This message is brought to you by House on the Rock Fellowship. We're a church that serves and cares for the Miami Valley region in Ohio. Before you continue, make sure to access the notes from our download section of our message page and have your Bible ready. Thank you for being our guest.
He is risen. What a wonderful thing to proclaim and profess this resurrection morning, that Jesus Christ has victory over the grave. Death is defeated. Sin is defeated. Satan is defeated. And the kingdom of Jesus Christ wins. Hell lost another one. We are here to proclaim this morning that very truth. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your first time here to House on the Rock, we're so glad that you're here. No doubt some of you thought that you were picking up groceries because someone forgot something for dinner, and you thought, oh my goodness, I'll just swing by the store. And then you walk in and find out it's a church, and now you're embarrassed if you try to leave. We are so glad that you're here. Please stay. Please stay. We're going to testify and proclaim and see what it means when Jesus takes something dead and brings it to life. My name is Paul. I'm the pastor here at House on the Rock. Thank you again. If you're watching online, thank you so much for being here. It means so much that we would come together. Well, I have a question. Do you know what this is? Oh, this is not a card table. If I put a little kid chair next to it and a sippy cup, it becomes the kids' table. That's right. That's right. How many of you have sat at the kids' table? How many of you still have to sit at the kids' table? Yes, yes. That wonderful, great fable tradition where we try to the best of our abilities, in the midst of that wonderful reunion dinner or Easter dinner or Christmas dinner, try to control the chaos as much as we possibly can and sit the kiddos at their own table. And please, by all means, save grandma's china for as long as we possibly can. I have sat at the kids' table. I'm sorry, there's just no room for you here. We're going to put you over here. Yeah. Yeah, no room. There's no room. I know what it feels like to be told there's no room. Do you know that? Do you know that? I was the youngest of my cousins when I was growing up. They were 10, 12, 15 years older than I was. And I was so excited whenever they'd come to visit for the holidays that I get to see my older cousins. And wanted to play with my older cousins. No doubt, what 15-year-old's not ecstatic to play basketball with a 5-year-old, right? Right? And they'd go off to play basketball. Wait for me, guys. Wait for me, guys. And they'd be playing basketball, and I'd try to jump out there and like, oh, Paul, we just don't want you to get hurt. Why don't you stand on the other side of the fence? There was no room for Paul in the game. Some of them were great soccer players, varsity soccer players, go up to college to play soccer. And I wanted to play, so they'd be kicking the ball around, trying to, and I would run out there. No, Paul, we don't want you to get hurt. There's no room for you here in the game. I know what it feels like to not be old enough, strong enough, good enough. Yeah. You guys know what that feels like spiritually? To feel like you're just not enough. You don't have what it takes. Others seem to always have their stuff together. And you're thankful if you can make it to church 10 minutes late. Last week it was 15. To look at others who always seem to have their prayers answered, that they ask and they're just like God's favorites. And you're always left on the outside, like there's no room for you. In fact, you told everyone, you don't understand, if I walk through the doors, you know what's going to happen to the building? It'll fall down. Yeah, because you've been told and convinced that there's no room for you. Well, resurrection morning is the testimony that the Father says there's room for you. And so I would like to share with you a few examples at the resurrection story, how God makes room. Room at the tomb. So if you had a set of notes or you just want to follow along, grab a Bible. I'm going to be in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And I'm going to try real hard to stand in this one spot. The tech team asked me and the camera guy asked me, who actually is my son, you're not going to move, are you? I'll do my best. Now, there's Bibles located in the seats in front of you, or if you've got someone, if you have some notes, it's this top paragraph. I'm going to be in John chapter 20, or you can just listen along. Just listen along as I read this. This is from resurrection morning, how a few people gathered at the tomb. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've laid him." So Peter went out, the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Stooping to look in, this is verse 5, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Simon Peter came following him. He went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloth lying there, the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen, but folded up in a place by itself. The other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he, Jesus, must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. We're going to talk about Mary, and I want to show you Peter, and I'm actually going to talk to you a little bit of a guy named Thomas. But first, could I say something about John? I don't know why John said some of the things that he did in this gospel. He's showing off a little bit. Everyone knows a John in their life who just seems to be perfect in their faith, that always has the Christian coffee cup and the bumper sticker, and when they pray, God seems to answer. You know, Jesus's favorite, the one who got to the tomb before Peter did, he didn't have to put that in there. Why did he do that? I mean, of all the things that he could have left out, is he just digging a little? Yeah, Peter and I started together, but I got there first. That's John. That's John. And so often in the presence of the perfect Johns, the perfect Joannes, whoever they might be, apologies if you're a John or a Joanne, it's really hard to think that there's room at the tomb for someone like me. Those who always seem to have it together, who read their Bible like you're supposed to read their Bible and pray the way that you're supposed to pray, and God bless their journey. But it's really hard to think that there's room at the tomb for someone like me in the presence of John's. But look at who else was at the tomb. Mary. Mary. I love Mary. In the dark and missing the mark. Mary. She's in the dark and she misses the mark. She gets there. She's convinced that the Roman Empire, a cohort of soldiers, have unsealed the tomb and have taken the body of Jesus and put it someplace else so that the followers don't know where he is. They've taken his body. We don't know where they put it. She just doesn't understand. She doesn't know. She misses the mark. She's still in the dark. And some of us in our following or attempting to follow Jesus get stuck on the same thing. But unfortunately, we start to ask questions that really don't matter. Paul, there's just some things I don't understand about faith or the Bible. And I don't know. It's not really for me. I don't understand. Like, really, Jonah and the whale, Paul, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Paul, 7-day creation, like it says in the beginning. Do you really believe that? I don't understand that. You're telling me that God parted the waters and let an entire nation of Jews out of Egypt? I don't understand that, Paul. I don't understand that. But that's not the question that you need to be asking. The question you need to be asking is, did he rise from the grave? That's what John says here. They yet did not understand, verse 9, the scriptures. He must rise from the dead. If you don't understand a lot of things, that's the one question you should be focusing on. Go to the tomb. Did he rise? He did. That changes everything. So maybe you're like Mary. Are you asking the right question? There's one question you need to worry about this morning. Or maybe you're like Pete. Petered out Pete. John beat him there. I relate a lot to Pete. Peter's like me. If there's a hard way, I'll find it. If there's a long path, I'll take it. If there's a difficult way of following Jesus, that's probably the place that I will land. I really appreciate that in the gospel story, Jesus includes people like Peter. Because, well, Peter's my people. If there's a hard way, if there's a long way, I'll do it. Peter, I'm telling you, here's the guy who can get up and hit a home run, and the next time at bat will completely strike out. Anyone ever do that in their spiritual life? Anyone ever do that just in life in general? I will have a win, and then I will crash and burn. In fact, here, hold my communion juice. Watch what I can do. Jesus is teaching a lesson. This is earlier in the ministry. And he asked his followers, who do people say that I am? Because I know there's a lot of rumors. Who do people say that I am? Oh, some think you're Elijah. Some think you're John the Baptist who's come back. Looks right at Pete. Peter, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Jesus, you're the anointed Son of God. That's my man. That's right. That's my man. Two paragraphs later, okay? Jesus starts to unpack for his disciples that he's going to be taken to Jerusalem. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be tortured. He's going to be crucified. Peter just couldn't stop talking. That ain't going to happen. We're going to make sure that doesn't happen. And some of you who know your Bible know what happens next. What did Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me. Dude, home run one moment, completely hit and miss the next. That's the life of Peter. Peter walked on water. That's a home run. Walking on water. But then he let his emotions get to him. And he got completely swallowed up by the waves. How many of you know what it feels like to walk a life like Peter's? I'm good. And then, ooh, I'm not. Is there room at the tomb for someone like Peter? Absolutely. Absolutely there is. Yes. There's room at the tomb for you. Jesus is unpacking with the disciples what's about to happen. He says, they will strike me and you will flee. Peter's like, I will follow you to the death. I'm your man. Home run, Pete. And Jesus says, Peter, before that rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times in just a few hours from now. No. Sure enough. What happens? This is the man that charges forward. This is the man that hops out of the boat and walks on water. In a moment of temptation and confrontation, aren't you one of his followers? And Pete said, I'm not your guy. I'm not the guy. Yeah. Petered out Pete. By the time he makes it to the tomb, he is weighted with sin. He is weighted with shame. He is guilt-ridden. And in his estimation, he is a failure. But there's an amazing thing that happens that Mark records in his gospel that's important for us who know what it means to live life like Peter, petered out. After Peter and John leave the tomb to head back, the ladies stay behind. So thankful for faithful women who know when it's time to stay behind because maybe the whole story hasn't been gotten yet. Thank you, ladies. angel appears to Mary and a couple of the others. Hey, Jesus says that he will meet you in Galilee. Go tell the disciples. This is Mark 16. But then the angel says, and Jesus wants to make sure that Peter knows too. Peter, who's convinced he's a failure. Peter, who's convinced that he struck out. Peter, who has denied his Lord. And Jesus sends the message to the angel, you tell Mary to make sure Peter knows. I want him there too. There is room at the tomb for you. There's room at the tomb for you. And you got someone like Thomas. Anyone heard of a doubting Thomas? Everyone heard of a doubting Thomas before? This is the guy. This is the guy who came up with the doubting. He is the doubting Thomas. He's one of the disciples of Jesus. All the disciples have seen Jesus. They're professing, hey, we've seen Jesus, we've seen Jesus. Thomas walks in late, a little bit later. We've seen Jesus. Thomas is like, don't believe it. I don't believe that. I can't believe that. Unless I touch his hands, put my hand in the wounds, I cannot believe the message that a dead man came to life. And Jesus showed up for Thomas too. Jesus showed up at Thomas's too. He said, believe. In fact, Jesus would show up to all of them. You've seen me. Believe. Believe. You are about to, this morning, see that very miracle as people come forward from so many different walks of life. We had 8 in the first service. We're going to baptize 6 in this service. They come from different backgrounds and different stories. Some of them were Mary's. Some of them were Peter's. Some of them were Thomas's. Some of them are younger, older. All of them have come to commemorate the message that Jesus is the victor, that death has been drowned, that sin has lost, and heaven wins. They have come to declare their allegiance. So if you are one of the ones who are getting baptized, you are excused to go get ready. And as they are getting ready, let me walk you through what you're about to see. Some of you have been baptized before, and that is wonderful. You have declared your allegiance to Jesus as the scriptures command. Some of you have no idea. Again, I thought this was a grocery store. Let me explain what you're about to see. People are going to come forward to be baptized. The word baptize is a Greek word. It simply means to immerse, to dunk something. The oldest demonstration that we have of the word baptize in antiquity was found in a recipe for making pickles. Okay? So we're going to make some holy pickles. That was very, very inappropriate. That was a bad joke. But it means we're going to put them all the way under the water. That's what baptized means. If you were sprinkled or some other mode of baptism, that's fine. We're not discrediting that. But there's a reason that you're going to see what you're going to see. Okay? This represents the journey from death to life. We're coming back to God. Humanity left. These are ones that are recognizing and commemorating Jesus's rescue. Jesus that is the living water. Jesus that is the cleansing water. In the same way that Jesus went into the tomb and came out again, these ones are proclaiming that very same thing. This is a spiritual thing. In a little bit, I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit blesses the waters. In the same way, in the beginning of the Bible, you see that these waters of chaos have gathered together, and the Spirit of God hovers over the waters to bring forth new creation, to bring forth new life. This isn't just water. This is a spiritual thing that we're doing. This is a community thing that we're doing. These people are leaving orphaned. They're leaving what it means to be a slave. They're leaving what it means to be alone. And they're being received by the community of faith. They're being welcomed. And suddenly walk you through what they're going to say so that you can understand. In a little bit, the artists are going to come back up and we're going to sing. I will bring the hopefuls, those who are being baptized, forward, and they'll sit over here. And when it's time to begin the service, Doug, one of our elders, okay, he's going to stand here. He's going to meet them one at a time. He's going to ask them three questions. These are questions of turning. These are questions of repentance. Are you turning from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of Jesus? They'll say, I turn. Are you turning from darkness to light? Because Jesus is the light. They'll say, I'm turning. Are you turning from death to life? I turn. That's where the journey is. And then they're going to enter the waters. We haven't told them this part yet. We tripped a breaker in the middle of the night. They're going to remember this. It's not that bad. It will definitely look like dead people coming to life when they come out. Adam will meet them in the tank. Earlier he was giving me dirty looks. He's like, oh, lead pastor gets to wear a suit and stay warm and dry. He will meet them in the waters, and he's going to ask them a few questions. Do you believe in God our Father, maker of heaven and earth? They'll say, I believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord? They will say, I believe. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? And they will say, I believe. Those three principles come from what we call the Apostles' Creed, a testament and a concise gathering of the belief of the church, something that we all share, no matter our heritage or our background. Some of us will practice the Nicene Creed. The Apostles' Creed is within there. And so we say it to remember that we're part of not a church, but we're part of the church, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the creed proclaims. After Adam asks them those three questions, he's going to turn to the church. You have heard their confession. Do you receive their confession? And we ask that you would say, we do. Because they don't baptize themselves. The leadership doesn't baptize the church. For there is one spirit. There is one body. There's one church. They come up out of the waters. He says, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in his death, raised to a new life. As he comes up, as she comes up, this is your part to join with the angels in celebration. Hell lost another one. The testimony of Jesus Christ proclaimed. So you let it rip, okay? They're going to come out on this side because you go from death to life. Death to life. I'll meet them over here. Those of you who are part of their immediate family or their ministry team or their life group, if you want to come over and join, I'm going to anoint them in the Holy Spirit. Ask that the Spirit would bless them, fill them, that they would glory in their baptism in what Jesus Christ has done, leading them from death to life. Amen. Amen. Are you excited? I'm so going to cry. I'm going to bawl my eyes out. You have to understand, some of these people have been journeying with us in our catechism program called Foundations for a year now. For a year. They've been meeting with us on a regular basis. Some coming forward because they've never been baptized. They're a little bit older and following Jesus. And they, wait a second, I need to do this thing. It's a beautiful testimony of the grace of God. This is not what we do. This is what Jesus Christ has done. So I'm going to ask the artist to come forward. Adam's in the back giving me dirty looks again. I'm going to ask that you would remain seated. And we'll have you stand within the song. And I'm going to ask the Spirit's blessing upon the waters. Because this isn't just water. We're doing a thing today. And I know for some of you, you've been praying for this moment for a long time. Jesus upon the cross saw in his providence and his omniscience this moment for these people. And it is a privilege for us to join them this morning. Let me pray. Our Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, place your spirit over these waters, these who have come to commemorate the ministry of our Lord, his death, burial, and resurrection, where sin was defeated, where Satan was drowned. Bring them through. May they know what it means to be filled and anointed and sustained and gifted in their walk. As we testify with them, for this is what Jesus has done, the righteous for the unrighteous, the living waters, the cleansing waters. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for sharing your time with us. And we'd love for the journey to continue. If you're a guest, would you consider reaching out to us? We would love to come alongside and encourage you in any way that we can. If you're someone who's joined us today and you are desperately reaching to find hope wherever you can, again, Jesus came that we would find hope. You can find hope today. If you want to send us a short note, a member of our hope team would reach out quickly, promptly, to come alongside and see what we can do to encourage you in whatever storm you might find yourself in. That's why Jesus came. That's why we're here. Jesus said there's two ways to live your life. And a wise man, a wise woman, builds their life on Jesus' instructions. God bless.